testimonies.
Did you know, mister? Hey, what I say, sir? Yeah. No. Yeah. Get your hands in the air, sir. Woo. Yeah. Then you will get no hurt, mister. No. I said, yeah.
I said, yeah.
Even to the policeman, I wouldn't do that. And if I do that, I would say, sir, nobody puts the charge on me. I wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't do that. I'm not a fool to hurt myself. So I was innocent of what they done to me. They was wrong. Happened to me one more time. They were wrong. Oh, yeah. Give it to me.
Coming to your life from the foot of the Bullet Mountain, where I set upon and truly we are giving God praise for His goodness and His mercy. We set upon, we had so much rain and we are giving God that. It was so dry and it is just like it's coming from the Sahara Desert. Giving us some peace. We are indeed grateful to Almighty God today for this rain. So wherever you are, we thank you for tuning into the Kind and Connection. This week our special guest will be Dr. Gregory Orton, an Olympian, and we're going to be talking to him on the Clarendon Connection. He wears many hats, and we are excited about talking to Dr. Gregory Orton. But we are, yesterday, Jamaica lost one of his top law enforcement officers, Superintendent Clooney. He was involving some shooting 2 weeks ago where two police officers died and three was hospitalized, including Superintendent Clooney. We understood that he was recovering well, and up to yesterday he was even telling fellow officers that he was going to be going home from the hospital, but he never made it out of the KPH alive. Superintendent Clooney died yesterday at the KPH. And our condolences goes out to the men and women who are in uniform. And our prayers are with them also. Yes, we, our country's plague. Our country's plague with so much crime and violence. But we are confident that as our national anthem says, Eternal Father, bless our land. Guard us with thy mighty hand. Keep us free from evil powers. We are like you, countless hours. To our leaders, great defender, grant you wisdom from above. Justice should be ours forever. Jamaica, land we love. This is the Clarendon Connection on the Caribbean Radio Show. Good evening, Dr. Horton. Are you there? Dr. Horton, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Dr. Gregory Horton. Yes, man. Welcome to the show. We are so happy to have you. This is Blog Talk Radio. And we are heard all over the world. And we just give all praises and honor to the King of Glory, that there is none like him. And we are glad for this opportunity to exalt the Most High God. His name is Jesus. And to him belongs all the praise and the honor and the glory. You had spent quite a while in Olympics, Dr. Horton. And I am looking back at some records of some Olympics, if I should go back to even 1948, where Jamaica won their first gold medal in that Olympics in London, where Arthur Wint won that gold medal for us. But you being a quarter miler, you would more be associated with the likes of, are you even more inclined to learn of a Herb McKinley or one of those greats? You want to share with us some of your experience that you have had in the Olympics?
Well, certainly. Thank you very much, Dr. Cameron, for the opportunity to be on your book. That I was able to be at two different Olympics, the 1996 in Atlanta and the 2000 in Sydney, Australia. And it is the highest level one can aspire to achieve with your heart for is something that you train hard, you make the sacrifice, the commitment, that you're able to show something. And I am so blessed that God did not just give me one Olympic medal, but three. And, you know, it's something that I will continue to cherish, because the experience itself is one where words are inadequate to describe what goes through an athlete's mind. To know that only few people ever is going to be on the podium. So it's a humbling experience. It's an experience where, as I say, when I talk about it, sometimes I get goosebumps. And to know that I can be ranked in with the likes of a Herb McKinley, a Arthur Wint, a George Roden, is something that any young person would aspire and dream about. And I'm happy to know that I am a part of that fraternity.
Right. You were in the Olympics in Atlanta. That's what, 1996?
Yeah.
And I remember that race vividly and something extraordinary happened. I mean, like, it happened so fast because you fell down, but it was like all of that was a part of the plan, because you just get right back up like a rolling machine and just continued as nothing as happened. What happened? And take us back to that time in that Olympics in 1996.
Well, 1996, we had a very strong team, and the guys were really looking forward to coming home with a medal. We were, like, celebrating before the race actually ran, because we're so confident. But what happened is that I was supposed to be on the third leg, and Roxburgh Martin, he was running a brilliant leg. So he was coming in so fast that when I moved out, his leg tripped my leg. And, well, his leg hit my leg and caused me to trip. I rolled over. It's just amazing. And I think it was just a gift. Because when I fell, I held on with both hands to get up, break my fall, get up, and continue to run. But I can tell you, as soon as I hit, or I was able to get back on my feet, I was so tired. The fall itself actually knocked me out of my fear. So, you know, even though it looked like the effort was tired before I reached the first turn. But God was good. My will in it. I wanted to bring home a medal for my country. I wanted to bring home a medal for my team. So I gave it my all. Until that, if I got the opportunity to do something like that again, I don't be able to get my mind to that. It took everything out of me. And it was just sheer guts and determination. And we will have to get back on my feet to finish that one lap race.
But Jamaica still end up winning a bronze in that race. And I think that was a exceptional. But if what is, you know, in Jamaica we always say, if we didn't know, always come last. But what would have happened if you have not failed?
We were confident that the race would have been closer. I'm not saying that we would have won the race, but we had a strong enough team to win that race. But I always say, knows what's best. I think with us not winning the race, it made me personally a little bit more hungry, and it made me more difficult for my country. So, you know, I'm not going to go back and say we have won. The race was won by, you know, the United UK finishing, and are disappointed but still happy with the bronze medal. And as I said, a lot of people left that championship without a medal. So because of that, we were happy and we were still appreciative of knowing that we could have gotten nothing, but we still were able to come home.
But Dr. Horton, let me fast forward now to what is happening in this present day. You know, I have noticed that Christian Coleman keep missing these important drugs tests. Why do athletes do such a things in such times as this when a drug test is very critical to an athlete to preserve their credibility?
You know, one of the things I oftentimes teach young people, athletes, is that you always want to say. So one of the things I try to teach young people is to make sure that you see that when you look back, and you look back at your accomplishment. One of the things that athletes take that period and they wait. I will say at least that You only have a limited amount of time to earn as much money as focus should be on the things that you need to do on a daily basis. Now, in Coleman's case, he received opportunities after opportunities, and he still did not take the terms of. I think he's one of them who just so prolific in a time like this. But we will continue to overlook a great year. He missed it again. So, whatever the U.S. track and field or somebody decide to do with him, he just has to embrace it and look forward for other opportunity. But it comes back down, Dr. Cameron, is that many of these young athletes, they're not mentally equipped, they're not mentally prepared to do the things that they need to do, and they're not holding themselves accountable because somebody is always there to cover for them. And it is important that young athletes and even the older ones take personal responsibility for their actions. And this is one of the issues that we find with a lot of these athletes, that they take things for granted, and then after the fact they say, I wish I did know.
But Dr. Orton, I mean, we have seen a likes of Usain Bolt go all the way to stardom, and I don't recall any of this was mentioned against his name. So why does these athletes, why is it happening now?
I think it's something where today they really don't understand and they really don't know how to take that personal responsibility, because somebody is always here doing the thing for them. Even though it's like your kid, if you want them to be responsible, if you want them to grow up to take a proactive approach to achieving some things in life, you have to teach them on a day-to-day basis some of the things that they need to do. And as the American athletes, it's what we call spoil, where some of them don't even have their own papers because the agent are the ones who do things for them. They take personal responsibility for their actions and they are involved in their own career. Then you're going to see things like this happen from time again. Maybe not in this situation where the person did not fill out the whereabout forms, but in other cases where you see people are losing out on contracts or people not getting most out of the contract because they are not fully aware of the things that are going on and the things that they need to do to rise to the occasion.
All right, let me go back to even with your case from way back 96 until you finish up. What was your experience in dealing with this whole drugs thing, Dr. Hahn?
Well, you know, first, never had a problem with. The only issue I had, and this is one of those unfortunate things, is was supposed to be at the time. This is different than whereabouts. But they normally would either pop up at your home or you know, find you with you a job. And I put the 2001 World Championship. I had a situation where they held on to my money when I finished third. They had to do 3 competition drug tests, but this is something that they were supposed to do, and they did not turn up at my home at no time. Onto the prize money. So fortunately for me, I was never missed a drug test in my time, whether it's at the meet itself or the I'm sure I am where I am to be or supposed to be. Because as a Jamaican, I know I don't have the it for me. So I made sure that whatever I need to, in order to be on top of my game, that I was on top of my game.
Yes, Dr. Orton,
yes.
I will I will ask the station to take a break, and then we will come back to continue with our conversation. This is the Clarendon Connection with your host, Pastor Cameron. We'll be taking a station break, and we're going to be right back with our guest tonight, Dr. Gregory Orton. 1996. Yes, this is the Clarendon Connection with the host, Pastor Cameron, and we are talking to our guest this evening, Dr. Gregory Orton, Jamaican Olympian, who has done well for our country, and really, I remember that race in 96 to just see him fell down and he get back up. It was Donnie McClurk, you know, sing the song that we fall down, but we get up, I tell you. And Dr. Horton did get up and was able to, we had a podium finish. And all we can say is to Almighty God be all the praise and the honor and the glory. Dr. Horton, tell me some of your interaction with this Clarendon great by the name of Herb McKinley.
For Jamaica to step their game up in the 400, and he took me under his wings, and it a lot. When I said he taught me a lot, we had a lot of conversations. He said that I had everything that could help to bring back the legacy of 400 meters in Jamaica. So he took me on his wings, and you know, he was able to do and show me a lot. You know, I have some old pictures with me and the Honorable Herb McKinley, because I was like a son to him and he was like a father to me. The thing I love with Honorable Herb McKinley, that he was kind. He was very kind to me. In fact, he treated me as if I was from Calabar. And people can't believe when they saw us together that I am actually from Excelsior and he's a Calabar old boy. So, you know, we had very good relationship. You know, he did so much for me. I can't even explain and express some of the things that he did for me on in the public forum. I remember even for it was Herb McKinley did everything he could to my mother to make sure that she was there to watch her son perform. So, you know, we have a long history. And he taught me so much. And I am now able to pass on some of the information that he shared with me personally. And he let people know that, look, there might be things from the Honorable Herb McKinley, and I'm passing them on to you so you can pass on the story to let the world know that the Honorable McKinley lives with me. But
yes, Herb McKinley, as I said, he was born in Pleasant Valley in Clarendon, and indeed we are so proud of him. You know, growing up though, I thought Herb McKinley was born at Calabar, because whenever we heard of Herb McKinley in my, you know, when I used to attend Clarendon College back in those days, you heard of Herb McKinley, you just think that man, you just Herb McKinley and Calabar, Herb McKinley and, I mean, everything about Calabar track and field program, you know, Herb McKinley was the one they attributed to. And is after I have done my research, I realized that Herb McKinley is a Clarendonian. And you know, as I said, we are so proud of him, and you know what he talk about, you know, he always in competition with Arthur Winton and Rodney, talk about Rodney giving some snake dance or some stuff like that. But as we journey further up, you have Helsinki in 1952. But I want to come around to 76, where 76 we had Donald Quarry at Montreal in Canada, and that was when Jamaica again burst on the scene, because in that 1976 Olympic, there was an athlete from Cuba by the name of Albert Wantarina, or some Wantarina, and that guy could run. And there was also in that Olympics, so a guy from Italy by the name of Petra Mania. You know, so that Olympics, man, it really burst out our Donald Quarry, and a man he run the 200 like no man has ever run it, and that was what started our exploit in the sprints.
You know, Donald Quarry, I remember when I was much younger, see Donald Quarry in those books that they used to give primary school athletes, primary students. And, you know, the thing that he did in my time, I would, it's time not. You know, only the story, but I had the chance to actually watch him compete over the years. You know, I think he retired in 88, or I think he went to 92 Olympics, so that they didn't take him on the team. But it was a pleasure to watch somebody like Donald Quarry compete. He had the right mindset, he had the determination, he had the guts. It was a beauty. He had the speed. Not only the young youth to be coming around the turn, that, you know, and I think that youth would pick up the mantle, and he did exceptionally well for Jamaica. And I think that as long as we have breath in our lives, I'm hoping
that the Jamaican athletes will continue to look in the past to see the people who came and to see that with hard work and determination, you're from in this world. When you think, if people think that you're a nobody.
So Dr. McFarlane, I would have to go back to this question then. Are you satisfied that there is enough mentorship within the J3A to redeem this legacy that we have seen to loss? How do we go about doing that?
Well, this is my I am Jamaican, 100% Jamaican, and I have been around the island, and I've been to the high school, I've been to the primary school, I listen to the coaches, I listen to the athletes, I listen to the administrators, I've talked to the different athletes or administration, whether it's the JOA or the J3, and decide. And I think that people don't understand, people who are in charge, those who make the decisions for the young ones, they really don't understand what mentorship is. And anyone, any person, just because of their age, and turn them into a mentor. But mentoring is talking about using your lived experience, something that is gained through time. You experience. You have to use your knowledge and your experience to guide individuals who are coming up and going with us. So I'm not saying that a manager is not able to mentor an athlete. What I'm saying here is that because I've been at the highest level in terms of performance, I know exactly what the kids are going through when they feel. I know what it's like not to be able to be at the higher level in terms of academic, because I took in student athlete. So you can't just, because of age, you're just going to. They are frustrated, they are disappointed, they lack motivation, they lack guidance, they lack inspiration. They lack so many different things. They lack counsel, so, which is an important thing, because when you listen to a patient,
Dr. Horton? To Orton, you seem to have lost connection. All right,
yes.
Station, take a. Dr. Orton, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Right. You were saying that some of the facilities that they lack, the young athlete, and you were making the point that, you know, the coach doesn't necessarily can be the mentor, but even though We have Jamaica have had some really first class coaches, and I think one of the reasons why Herb McKinley was so successful is that he has been there. But if you should take like a Stephen Francis or even a Glenn Mills, they have not shined on the Olympic circuit as such, but they produce world class Olympians. So how do we address that issue then?
Well, what you find today, that you have a different set of athletes now than in our time. In our time, we didn't have all the different distractions that the young people today are having. We did not have those social issues now compared to back in my time, compared to back in Herb, Honorable Herb McKinley time. So you find that as these younger athletes are going through their trial and tribulation, one of the things that you see has been growing over the years is that you do not have parents taking that responsibility to making sure that
the athletes, the student athletes, their children are properly cared for. Like, say, for example, Dr. Cameron, you see a thing going around in Jamaica now that people are proud to say that they are fully dunce. And people who are fully dunce, you can see that there was a breakdown in the home. Now, in my time, we had guts and determination, and we were willing to do whatever it takes in order to achieve our highest potential. Some of these athletes today now, they're so confused. They have no desire to want to push themselves. I'm telling you, I've seen it on numerous occasions. In October, I went to 13 schools in a 5-day period, and I sat down with some of the athletes, and my heart went out. You know, a lot of these younger athletes, female too, they are being molested in different ways. There are so many issues. Some of these athletes, they experience hunger. They experience the death of a loved one. They experience a whole lot of different issues. So this is why we say we need mentoring in the schools. We need mentoring in the community, because the personal issues are affecting the athletes from performing at their highest potential. And until some intervention takes place, it's going to be very difficult to get some of these athletes to perform at their best. If you look around the island now, you see crime is at its highest level. And most of the time when a child experiences that hardship, the pain from losing a loved one, it affects their ability to do their academics and also to perform. So I am sure, Dr. Cameron, that if you do a survey right now, you will see that mentoring is needed. It's vital right now, because if we don't have that social intervention, you're going to see things getting worse. You're going to see the performance getting worse, and you're going to see a whole lot more additional issues that is going to come along with what I'm saying now.
Because I am a sports buff. I really do. I love all types of sport. But I watch Melanie Walker, and I know that girl have talent. Melanie Walker can read.
Mm-hmm.
But then by the second time comes around, like, she just fade away. Are those a result of mentorship lacking? What about I love Danny McFarlane. He have a heart of I don't know whatever heart he have. But that man, even his whole age, Danny McFarlane keep on going. He would give it his last. I have seen a James Beckford jump, and that guy can jump. And from early you detected that those people, they lack some form of mentorship. And how could we get back to down that basic where we let even the J3 or probably the Minister of Sport, the Honorable Bobsy Grange, get them to listen to know that mentorship is the way to go. It can help them all through the rest of the journey.
Dr. Cameron, one of the things I see with my people is that we wait until the pattern is developed into a major trend. Then that is when we want to do something about it. We are okay kicking the road as long as we are getting what we want. My approach is different. I am saying that we need to take a proactive stance now, because when we look at what is going on in Jamaica right now in terms of the crime and violence, in terms of teenage pregnancy, in terms of the fully done scheme taking over the island, that many of the issues that Jamaica are having now, these are social issues. These are issues that are affecting athletes, mothers. It's affecting the companies, because, you know, you see it. So my thing is, I can make a case to say that if you look at anyone who received mentoring, that they have a 75% chance of doing better. And we're talking about competent people who have the knowledge and the experience and can pass it on to the younger person. The thing about mentoring, Dr. Cameron, is it is not something that is forced onto the person. The mentee must also be inspired or motivated and want more out of life. So mentoring should not be at the high school level.
It is best to have mentoring at the grassroots level where you can catch these young minds early and you can teach these young people policies and procedures and way to go about things. So as the person gets older, the issues that we are faced with now, they would already have been exposed to some of these issues, and they would already also be exposed to solutions to these issues. You know, one of the hardest things I had to do the other day was I met with a group of young ladies, and I explained to them and showed them what to do. But by the time I came back to the States and went back to Jamaica, I was told a story. One of the young person is now pregnant, and they're no longer able to go to school. So this is something that we need to implement, not just in the schools, you know, but in the community. You know, before you used to have older folks who wanted to help young people, wanted to show young people, but the young people were also driven to want to know. Many of these young people now, they really don't care much because they don't see no future. They don't see no hope. And as a result of that, they just feel like giving up and just doing whatever they can today because there is no hope. But a mentor can come in. A mentor can inspire you. A mentor can make you feel like life is worth living. A mentor can help you to move from point A to point B. We see it over and over in different careers. So why can't we implement mentoring in sports?
Because in terms of mentorship, I have noticed the political parties, they do well at mentoring.
Yes.
Because you don't rise up in the political, especially in Jamaica, and just be a leader like that. In Jamaica, I mean, you would hear that Bustamante mentor somebody, you would hear that Norman Manley mentor somebody, and then when they take over, you hear that Michael Manley mentor somebody, Mr. Siaga mentor somebody, and it keep on going up the line. I am saying, how could a mentorship like this be introduced? As you say, at the grassroots level, do we have to talk to the Minister of Education? Do we have to talk to the Minister of Sports? What can be done? Because believe me, mentorship is scriptural, you know. Because if you look into the book of Exodus, when Moses was leading children,
and Joshua,
Jethro said to him, "Say, Moses, don't do this thing. It will wear you out. It will kill you." And Moses listened to what his father-in-law said, and he chose. And he said, "Listen to me now. Get men of 50, men of 20, Hebrew men," and he get him, tell him the type of men to get. And that was what helped with the sustenance of Moses' ministry, because it was killing him when he was have to be judging all these cases every day. And it's the same thing that we see happening even in the church and even in the school. A lot of the problem that we are facing is because we do not have the mentorship to know that choose this way, do this thing this way, get somebody who have the experience. And it even goes on back to, as I said, the killing that took place in Spanish Town. It was the two first police that died. They were very young. They were like on the force for like 2 years and 3 years. When you're dealing with criminals, you need experienced men who know how to fight crime. You can't take the young man who just graduated from college 2 years ago. Him have a way to go to learn about crime and see they lost their life.
Dr. Cameron, one of the things I teach is that you have to have a true intent if you intend to accomplish something. And I think that in Jamaica, we say it, especially when it comes to track and field, but we don't do it. We look at the physical talent and we ignore the psychological development, the emotional development, the spiritual development of the human being. I was a great runner in my time, not just because of the physical, but because I knew how to make decisions. I was emotionally stable. And I was able to make good decisions under pressure situations. And this is why mentoring is important, because I had someone in my corner that I could reach out to if I had a tough decision to make. And I knew that this person had my best interest at heart. You also have to know, too, that when a person receives good guidance and good mentoring, that they won't depend on the system. And sometimes those people who are providing the guidance to some of these young people, they want them to be dependent on the system. They don't want them to be too knowledgeable, because if they have too much knowledge, they can make decisions that is in their best interest, and that can be scary. So one of the things I've decided to do, Dr. Cameron, is to set up a mentorship program in high schools and primary schools and basic schools. We have started up the program from last January. We were at a very crucial stage until this COVID-19 kind of slow us up. But my intention is to do everything I can to help some of these high schools and these primary schools and these administrators to set up a mentorship program inside the school. I will do my very best to assist in any way I can, but I'm hoping that they would see the need based on some of the social issues that we see going on now, and the fact that many of these young people, in order for them to become the best version of themselves, since they're not getting the guidance and the teaching at home, that we have to find a different way to get them to become the best version of themselves. And this is why I am passionate about what I do, and I'm determined to see it to the end, to the point where we can now start saving lives. I think a lot of these young athletes who are good enough to go all the way, they are being led down the wrong path. They are giving up some of their education just to do track and field. And when track and field don't work, they are thrown to the wolves. So my hope is that I can get Heartland Mentoring Group to continue to do some of these workshops and these presentations around the island, so we can start changing lives one at a time.
So what are some of the schools that you have been to already, Dr. Orton?
I've been to Vere Technical, I've been to Bustamante High, I've been to Garvey Mateo, I've been to Excelsior, I've been to Mona High, I've been to Heidel, I've been to, I was supposed to go to Christiana, they shut that down, Garden. You know, I've been to several schools. I went to Seaview Gardens as well. So, you know, wherever I get the chance and whoever needs information, I am there to assist in any way I can.
Yes, I am, because I have spoken to principals and they are willing to allow this mentorship thing, this guidance thing, to be in their school. As a matter of fact, every school have a guidance counselor, but the guidance is different from the mentorship, because they mostly deal with just like personal issues and things.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at the entire man. It's physical, it's emotional, it's spiritual, it's on whatever aspect it has to be dealt with.
Yes. And the thing about that too, Dr. Cameron, is that the coaches, they don't have the time to provide that level of mentorship. They try to do it with whatever time they have. But again, mentoring is something that should come natural. And if you're overwhelmed with the amount of people that you have, you may not be able to provide the type of information. And I can also tell you this, that some of the female athletes, they don't feel comfortable expressing themselves to their coaches. Because sometimes, which is what one of the athletes actually told me, that sometimes the coach would use the information that they would share with them against them. So mentorship, this is why I say that you must have the right people in place. You must have the right people who are emotionally stable, who have the lived experience to know that it is because I understand what you're going through, this is why I may do this, I may not do that. So it is important that we don't just throw these young people on anyone, but we find the right match, because matching is also important when you match a mentor with a mentee. So this is something that is going to require time. Sometimes the mentor may also need a psychologist to work alongside the athlete. It is important that we know the difference between the mentor and the psychologist. The mentor mm-hmm. can help the athlete to find the inspiration and to do some of the things that the athlete is physically capable of doing and even mentally.
But sometimes when the athletes have some deep emotional trauma, the mentor would work best when they have that psychologist or that psychiatrist to help the person to break through some of these emotional scars, whether it is through rape, whether it is through abortion, whether it's through other physical abuse. There's so many different things that goes into this, Dr. Cameron, if we're going to get it right.
So let me put it to a case study now. I have seen Asafa perform, and I know Asafa can run. But Asafa, that Olympic medal just keep on eluding him. He just, whenever he shows up to these big times, he just failed to perform. How would you assess him?
Well, I think that in Asafa's case, it is not just a physical, a psychological issue with Asafa. I think, too, one could say his preparation might have something to do with it. But the thing that I do, if we're going to look at the mental aspect of Asafa's situation, that he has to learn to deal with expectations. And because he has been in situations where he's never able to pull through to the best of his ability, he's thinking so much of the result. He's thinking more about the result than the process. And this is where the mentor can come in, a mentor who understands competing at the highest level, to let Asafa know that, Asafa, it is best to implement what you need to do in the moment and don't look at results. Don't worry about what your coach is going to feel if you don't perform at your highest potential. Don't worry about what the family is going to say. Don't worry about what Jamaica is thinking about you right now, on the now, the here and now. So when you look at Asafa's situation, you can tell that he's so eager to get the race over with, to get the results, that he's not focused on what he needs to do in the here and now.
So you think that he need to be mentored properly then? There's something missing in that aspect?
Yes, because one of the things I do, even with some of my athletes, we talk about expectations. We talk about how expectations can affect your performance. We talk about you having your expectation and don't allow your coach's expectation to overwhelm you. So mentoring now covers a whole gamut of stuff. It's not just how you train. It's about how you think about things. And this is why we add the mental training to the medicine, because we know that if you're not able to control the way you think, then you're not going to be able to control how you act.
So that aspect is critical. You know, and that is why the scripture say, whatever a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
So is he, yes. So, Dr. Cameron, my method is very similar to getting someone to focus on getting a mind like Christ, that mind that you break down all barriers and you focus on the Christ way. So it's that method that I use, because at the end of the day, you want the athlete to find their true self. And the only way you can find your true self is by changing the way you think about yourself, changing the way you think about life, changing the way you think about performance, and changing the way you think about winning.
Because the mind is critical. It was one of Joyce Meyer's famous saying is, wherever the mind go, the man follows. You know, so you know, you are right. I agree with you. The mind need to be refocused, and that is why a lot of our youths are falling along the way. As you mentioned, somebody got pregnant when you turn your back and went back to the States. If they had a focused mind, man, their desire would be, man, when he comes back, I should be firing on all 10 cylinders.
Dr. Cameron, it's hard sometimes for some of these young people to have a focused mind, because here is the truth about it. Most of these young people are being abused verbally at home. some of these young people are being told by parents and loved ones that you're not going to be nothing and you will never be nothing. And these are some of the things that they have to live with. You know, everywhere I go around Jamaica and I talk with some of these young people, they're telling me that the people who are supposed to love them the most are the people who are beating them down the most. The people who are to care and teach them and show them the way are the people who are actually throwing a wrench, so to speak, in the hub. So this is why I say that if you're not going to get the proper teaching and guidance and mentoring from home, then there must be some social intervention to make sure that these things are given to some of these people at an early age. So as they get older, some of the bad habits that they would pick up along the way is no longer there, and they're not an, it's not an impediment to what they aspire to achieve in their own life.
And we have to go back to the mentoring, and as I mentioned before about Moses and Jethro. But did you know that Samuel rose up to be one of the greatest prophets in Israel, all because he listened to a man named Eli? When God called Samuel and at a young age, Samuel never understood, so he went to Eli. And Eli said, okay, go back and lay down. And if you hear the voice, say, speak, Lord, I serve and hear it. And Samuel obeyed. Samuel listened to Eli. And God raised up Samuel to be one of the greatest prophets in Israel. And so we have to find a way, Dr. Arn. And I am here willing, and whatever the Canaan Connection can do, to get this mentorship program out, because it is critical. Jesus, when he walked this earth, he listened to his father's instruction. And Solomon even go back and say, a wise son listened to the instruction of a father. It doesn't have to be a physical father. It can be a mentor who can teach you the proper things. And it is lacking in our society. That's why our murder rate is, we have so many state of emergency and Zozo, and men are still dying. Lawmen are still dying because the mentorship is needed. We are out of time, Dr. Horn. We come back next week, Dr. Horn. We come back next week and finish. We have to get this thing. Oh, this is Pastor Cameron coming to you from the foot of the Bullet Mountain, in Elkins District called Turkapan. This is the Canaan Connection. My guest is Dr. Gregory Orton. And we're going to be back next week for the full hour, as we're going to be talking about this mentorship and talking about sports and talking about this scripture. My God, Jesus says, search the scripture, for in them you have eternal life. God bless you. Over to you, studio.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.